Hey everybody, this is Mark Ashton coming to you with a little fireside chat about Balaam, son of Beor. It is February 11th, and this is Project 4-4, reading from Numbers 22, 23, and 24. Now, before we get too bogged down with Balaam, I want to nail down the biggest lesson that the text teaches us, and that's this. When God determines to bless a people, nothing's going to stop him. Not King Balak, not some kind of a rebellious prophet. Nothing can stop God's blessings when God determines to bless. Now, I'm certain in our lives and in our churches, from time to time, we're going to experience some kind of opposition. If, however, we know, as Israel did here, that we're moving in the direction God has planned, nothing will ever cause us to lose his blessing or thwart his purpose for us. And if we should ever find ourselves in the unenviable position of standing against the genuine work of God, well, then we ought to understand right up front that we will never be able to succeed in stopping it. We'll be wasting time and energy, money and resources, just like old King Balak. You know, maybe from time to time you can fight City Hall, but you can't fight God. Well, so far in our study of the Word of God, we've met characters about whom we have so many questions and so few answers, things that are both fascinating and frustrating, and Balaam, son of Beor, is no exception to this principle. He comes out as this strange prophet for hire in Numbers 22 through 24. At first blush, as we read in Numbers 22 through 24, he appears to be a genuine prophet of God, a good guy who stands for righteousness. He acknowledges the Lord God, Jehovah, and he constantly says, I cannot go beyond the command of the Lord my God. I cannot say anything he doesn't tell me. So he appears to be able to genuinely communicate with God and on behalf of God in almost an at-will basis. He unquestionably brings back an indisputably genuine message from the Lord. He blesses Israel and even delivers wonderful prophecies. He must be a good guy. Or is he? Because there's some disturbing little hints that he may not be. Balak, the king of Moab, clearly has the belief that for a sum of money, Balaam's services can be bought. And while Balaam makes it quite clear that he can't say anything the Lord doesn't allow, he doesn't seem to have a problem with taking a little bit of money in exchange for his services from time to time. That's something a prophet in the Old Testament would never do. In fact, if you read the account a little bit more carefully, it appears very much like Balaam is holding out for higher and higher fees over time. Even if Balak gave me a palace filled with silver and gold, I could not do anything. But if he really meant that, wouldn't he have just sent them away? He doesn't. In fact, he invites them to stay the night, and maybe he'll get a different prophecy from God. Then there's this matter with the donkey. If Balaam really had been the Lord's prophet, wouldn't he have had the spiritual eyes to see the angel on the road? More than that, we're specifically told at the beginning of chapter 24 that Balaam was in the habit of using sorcery to work his craft. That was something specifically prohibited in the Old Testament on the pain of death. A second look at Balaam then suggests that he was not a good guy, at least not a true prophet of the Lord, and it is this opinion that is upheld by the writers of the scripture. Peter, for example, writing in his second epistle, says that Balaam, son of Beor, loves the wages of wickedness. So what difference does that make? Just this. God used a bad man to bless Israel. He used a scoundrel to utter some of the most wonderful prophecies about Israel. He used a greedy schemer to articulate a great messianic prophecy. And this is the point. In his sovereign wisdom, God not only turns the wickedness of his enemies into works and actions that further his purposes, he sometimes even uses men and women who have no spiritual depth, or life in themselves to say and do wonderful things. Balaam prophesied good things regarding Israel, but that didn't make him a follower of Jehovah. Today, he still, from time to time, blesses the message even when it comes from the lips of charlatans. In recent times, we've seen several men who were preaching the gospel message and apparently having a positive biblical impact on many lives fall into the greatest kinds of sin, only to discover that these things had been going on in their lives for many years, All the while, the message was being preached and the ministry was bearing fruit. You see, God blessed the message even though it came from the lips of a scoundrel. Now, you know that God never does things capriciously. There's always a reason, even though we don't always understand that reason. That's why the use of Balaam's donkey to deliver a message from God is such an interesting thing. I mean, I guess if God can speak through Balaam's donkey, God can speak through just about anybody. But do you know what I think was going on in this passage? I think the donkey is an object lesson that God is saying to Balaam, hey, you are just like your donkey. Just like you tried to drive that donkey on even though he saw things that you couldn't see, and just like you did it until finally the angel of the Lord absolutely stopped you, well, in that same way, Balak is going to drive you, Balaam, your little donkey, even though you see what he cannot see. And he's going to keep on driving you, and you're going to keep on blessing Israel until I absolutely stop it with an encounter with me. Just like I opened the mouth of a dumb donkey and put my words in it, so I can open the mouth of a blind, brain-dead prophet who's a scoundrel trying to make money on the side and make him speak my words. My words, Balaam. You're just like the poor donkey that you're abusing, and certainly God can use anybody to bring about his purposes. Well, the most amazing prophecy of this passage, I think, is the one found in Numbers 24:17. Balaam says, I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star will come out of Jacob, a scepter will rise out of Israel. A star that leads to a king. Does that story sound familiar at all? Over 1,000 years later, some new mystery men, wise men, rode into the city of Jerusalem. They came looking for the Messiah. They said, we saw his star in the east, which incidentally is the direction from which Balaam came. Only a few in Israel were watching him, watching for him, Simeon, Anna, a few others. But these wise men, these stargazers from the east were watching, and somehow they knew about the prophecy that God had put in the mouth of Balaam. And so they came. Isn't that just like God? Well, Balak discovered that you can't frustrate the will and the plan of God. Balaam discovered that he had a lot in common with his donkey, and Israel discovered that whoever blesses God, God will bless. This has been Mark Ashton, reminding you that God tells the truth and that his blessings cannot be thwarted. May his blessings rest on you this day.